pray together. Jesus, we can't sing it if we don't mean it. And God, the truth is that is the truth. Is that even when we run, and even when we hide, and even when we're the dumbest we've ever been, God, you continue to reel us back in. You continue to save us from ourselves through the cross of Jesus Christ. And God, for us, that's never been more true than it's been right now. And God, we thank you for it. God, we thank you for Lord, never letting go. God, I pray, Lord, that we would cling to that this morning. May you speak through your word. We love you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. It's good stuff, isn't it? I forgot to do this in the first service, so it means I'll have to do it with them next week, which is fine. I actually want to take a chance to introduce you to somebody that I don't really hardly know. It's maybe kind of weird at first, but I think you'll kind of get where this is going. I think we take for granted that we're just here and, you know, we're just doing, you know, what we do. And, the truth is there's all kinds of people elsewhere in other parts of the world, even though that, you know, we have tunnel vision sometimes and all we're thinking about is the here and now. I get emails every once in a while from a guy. And I'll be honest with you, I thought it was spam at first. I don't know what it is about being a preacher. Maybe you get them too, I don't know. There's something about being a pastor, and there's you get all this spam about all these people wanting to give you millions and millions of dollars, and they are from the Middle East, and they want to give it to, they get real specific with us that are pastors. They want to give it to your church and, you know, all this kind of stuff. That really wasn't how the email started out, but it was obvious that it was an email from somebody in another part of the world. And so, I kind of blew it off at first. And then a couple months later, I got another email from the person. And I want to introduce you to him. We've got a picture of him. His name is Charles. And this is Charles. I think we have a picture of him. Charles... This is my new friend, and Charles lives in India, and Charles listens faithfully to our podcast every week. In emailing back and forth this week with Charles, Charles sent me a picture of himself. Of course, he's seen my picture. He goes to our website, and I'm just like, really? Like India? Like, somebody in India cares about what's going on here, and the truth is that whenever he emails, he is generally just emailing to say how encouraged he is that we are teaching the gospel here, and he loves to hear about, you know, the things going on here and all that. And this past week, in emailing back and forth, not only did he send a picture, but he also, I just point blank asked him, I said, you know, how in the world did you ever, how? 24 church, you know, and basically his answer was, this is your website, and I don't know what this means, but your website is the only website that our firewalls will let me get onto at work, and apparently he's listening to the gospel while he's at work. And so how crazy this is. And then also an email in this week, he just said to keep him in our prayers, keep him in my prayers. He didn't know I was going to do this. To keep him in our prayers, he is probably going to be taking leadership in his church. I don't know if that means that he's going to become a pastor or what it is, but obviously God's doing something in his heart. And I thought, you know what? How awesome of us for an opportunity for us to get to pray for him here in Pleasant View, Tennessee today while he's in India. And Charles, we know that you're listening, because anytime the podcast goes up late, you're always emailing afraid that we're not going to have one for that week. So I know you're out there, and buddy, we love you, and we want to pray for you right now. So let's pray as a church for Charles. God, I lift up Charles to you today, and how awesome it is that we have a brother in Christ in India today that is wanting to proclaim your gospel. And God, whatever it is that you would have him to be doing in the church, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would use him for the glory of your kingdom. And God, we lift him up to you, and whatever you're doing in his heart right now, God, keep doing it. Keep encouraging him forward to pursue you, that he would continue to grow in you. God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to have a brother in Christ all the way over there. And God, we just ask that you would have your hand on him and use him for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen. That's pretty cool. Charles, we love you, buddy. That's cool, isn't it? We just go home now, couldn't we? I got to tell you, the message today is so weird the way it's laid out. I've never taught a message this way before, it's ADD. You're going to have to track with me. If you don't have a Bible with you, you're going to want one this morning. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and usher's going to bring you one. You're going to want one because of how we're doing this morning. It's going to be all over the map. I couldn't believe you guys were able to keep up with me in the last service as well as you did the way I'm preaching through this today. Basically, today we're talking about very much what we just sang about. We're talking about this understanding that God never lets us go. We're talking about this understanding that, you know, that through all the bad stuff, it's all going to go away. Jesus is coming. This isn't the end. There is an end, and the end is good. And this morning, we're talking about some things that I think could be very beneficial and very encouraging to a lot of people. I know a lot of Sundays, we come in here, I had somebody tell me this week, he said, I love coming to 24 because I always feel like my feet have been stomped on by the time that I leave. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not intending to stomp on anybody's feet. But the gospel just brings out our sin a lot of times. It brings out things that we need to see about ourselves. And hopefully my opinion is never what counts, and it's always the gospel here. And that'd be true of anybody that ever teaches and preaches here. But this week, we're spending this Sunday, we're kind of taking a break from how I've been teaching through the book of Philippians, and we're stopping right here at the end of chapter 3. We finished chapter 3 last week. If you didn't catch it, go back and check it out. We've still got another chapter left to go in the book, and we're going to pick that up after Easter. I didn't want to start chapter 4 until after Easter because Easter and Palm Sunday and Good Friday, I'm going to be doing kind of a thing called Colors, and we'll be talking about that in the next few weeks. This week, I really just had it on my heart, I got to tell you, it's so crazy how God does this stuff sometimes. Nathan came and set my office. And I was just like, dude, I want to do an off week this week. I'm not even sure where I'm going yet with this thing. And he just said this word, and it was exactly the word that was kind of in my mind, but I didn't have the word yet. I hadn't figured it out, you know, where we were going here. And it's the word perseverance. And I have spent a good deal, and this is not abnormal for me on any week, but this week it seems like I've spent a good majority of time talking with people who are struggling through different moments and different things in their life. And maybe you're there, maybe you're not. If you're not, guess what? It'll come back around. You'll be there again. So just hang out for it, and it'll come to you. You know, part of this life is suffering. Part of this life is going through things, you know, that we sing, you know, in these songs that we were just singing, you know, that we would still praise God in the midst of the storms is a huge thing for us to say. It's easy for us to say. It's much harder for us to do. And this morning, I want us, what we're going to do is we're going to look back through the first three chapters of Philippians, and I'm going to teach backwards through them. Little by little, bit by bit, and we're going to see that there's this thing that is underlined throughout the book of Philippians. One of the things that I love about the movie The Christmas Story, you know, the "You'll Shoot Your Eye Out" movie, you know that one? That in that movie, one of the things that I love is, like, you know, that the kid, I think it's Ralphie or something, he's wanting this decoder. I think it's a decoder pin or something. But he wants this decoder, and you see him, and he's listening to, like, the little radio show and all this stuff. And in listening to this radio show, because it's like pre-TV and all that, you know, and they're sitting around him and his brother, whatever. He's listening to a radio show, and so if he'll drink, like, I don't know, like umpteen million things of Ovaltine and send in, I guess, the proofs of purchase or something like that for it, you know, they'll send him this decoder pin. And so, you know, I remember stuff like this in my Fruit Loops boxes or whatever. And I used to, as a kid, I learned this little trick for you kids. You can you turn the box upside down and open it from the bottom and you get the prize first. Okay, I learned that long time ago, okay? With the whole decoder thing, he gets the decoder, so he gets it, sends all the stuff in, he gets the decoder pin, and he's like listening to the radio show and they give like the secret message, you know? And he's got the decoder pin out, and he's decoding, and it's like, you know, the music is building, and his brother is sweating, and everything's going on, and he decodes out the message, and the message is, drink more Ovaltine, right? You know, and he's like, really? Really? And I'm sure, like, at that moment, it's like, you know, I'm going to throw this thing through that radio right now. And he's super disappointed. Well, I think that there is an underlying message throughout the book of Philippians. We haven't even gone to chapter 4 yet, but we'll see it in the weeks to come from teaching about it today, and I think that we'll be able to pick up on that. And obviously, we've had this whole trajectory thing going on, this whole like idea that we're supposed to be moving forward in our relationship with the Lord, and it's not about sitting still. And as Paul writes this letter urging the church at Philippi, because they're doing great things and God is doing good stuff in them, but he's encouraging them and saying, you're doing great, but keep pressing on. Keep moving forward for the kingdom of God. Let God continue to work through you and don't stop. And so we've got this whole trajectory thing, but I think that also this underlying, and this is a good message, it's not like, you know, drink more Ovaltine where we're going to be let down here. I think the message here that we can take away from this thing is that we are called to perseverance. We are called to faithfulness toward God. And we just sang about, you know, how God is faithful to us, that he never lets us go. One of my favorite worship songs is, you know, about how faithful God is to us. And I love singing, I love just being reminded. It's such a great thing to be reminded that through it all, he is faithful. And for us this morning, I think it's good for us to get that we can be faithful to him because, only because, he has been faithful to us. And that's such a huge piece and such a, you know, I think we got to be reminded of that, because in this world, we're just constantly bombarded with stuff. And we're constantly, you know, being told, well, you'll never make it. You'll never do it. You know, you're the underdog. You got no chance whatsoever. You're not perfect. In fact, you're stupid. You're dumb. You're ugly. You're whatever it is. And the truth is, this is a bunch of lies. And Satan uses that stuff against us to keep us from pursuing God. And he loves it because he knows it's working with so many of us. And Paul is writing out, God is inspiring him to write these words to what would be part of what we would have as scripture, for us to be challenged, that we would not stay in one place, but not only would we not stay in one place and press forward, but that we would persevere, that we would be faithful to God, that it wouldn't just be about movement, but it would be about our faithfulness to who Jesus is and what he's done for us, that we would be called to perseverance. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and this is kind of a part of the passage where it talks about fruit of the Spirit. You know, and I don't generally just take verses, you know, one at a time like this, but I just want to share this one verse. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to all end. Keep alert with all perseverance. Making supplication for the saints. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. We need to hear that. We need to hear that. My favorite movies, and you've heard me talk about this before, so please forgive me, just bear with me. My favorite movies end up being sports movies. And I'm not like the guy that's like glued to SportsCenter all the time or whatever. I can get into it from time to time. But my favorite movies always end up being sports movies, because there is something to me about this underdog mentality of, you know, it can the just the underdog guy, the guy that, you know, can't, is nobody, can he do it? Can he make it? One of my favorite movies is called Cinderella Man. And it's a true story Because the movies that are, nonfiction, whatever, but the movies that are about, or movies that are nonfiction, just get me, because it's just this whole, like, truth of someone's story being told of how they overcome. Cinderella Man's about a boxer from the 30s and 40s named James Braddock, or Jim Braddock. I love the history behind this. I love getting to hear the stories right there. You're talking about an era called the Great Depression. Just a time, and we understand, not to that degree, I don't think, but we understand some economic, downtimes and whatnot with what we're going through right now. And then you've got this other movie that I love, which is called Invincible. And this movie is a movie about a football player. Actually, it's not about a football player. It's about a substitute teacher. And that's what I love about this movie, is this guy's just like your normal guy, and his name was Vince Papale, and he was living in Philadelphia, and in the 70s, he was a substitute teacher, and right in the midst of another economic downtime, where things were really tough, and in that blue-collar area, and so many people were being laid off, and there was, all this craziness going on. There's a guy in the midst of all this who gets laid off also from his job as a substitute teacher. His wife leaves him, and he's just kind of left. And somewhere in the midst of this, the Philadelphia Eagles, the NFL football team, the Philadelphia Eagles, hire a new coach, and they hadn't been doing so hot. In fact, they've been doing terrible, been doing horrible. And the coach comes in, his name was Dick Vermeil, and Dick comes in, and he has this idea, and he even says later it was really just kind of a publicity stunt to kind of get the city back around their team. And so what he did is he held tryouts. He had open tryouts for an NFL football team. So it'd be like, this afternoon if, the new coach for the Titans said, hey, if you want to come try out, anybody's welcome. And so like every, Uncle Rico in the crowd that still thinks that he's got it is, they played some ball in high school or whatever, or college, they're down there at the stadium and they're trying out. And that's what happened in 1976. Dick Vermeil actually did this. And out of the whole bunch, what happened is Vince Papale's buddies talk him into doing the same thing, because they played, just balling a lot. And they're like, dude, you're fast and you're good. Just go for us. Go for our sake. None of us are that good. You go. And so he goes and he tries out, and he winds up, Dick Vermeil winds up bringing him on to the team. It's crazy. This doesn't happen, And there's something about that, there's this equation that you see if you watch these movies a lot of times, it's like, a guy's down on his luck, or a lady's down on his luck and her luck, and all this is going on in their life, and then all of a sudden they get the break. A commentator said this about Vince Papale, true deal, and I just watched this last night. He said, he played like a guy who had been handed his dream, but however long it was going to last, when it was over, he didn't want to walk away and regret a second of it. And I just thought to myself, what if we played like that every day of our life? And we recognized all of this for what it is. That we recognized that this whole thing, that we get one shot at it, we have one chance, we got one life. The second from a second ago is gone. I think for us to just get a little piece of this and an understanding of how important it is for us to be faithful to God, how important it is for us to persevere through these times is so super important. We are called to perseverance. Get this. We are called to perseverance, not for our own sake, but for the glory of God. For the glory of God. All right, let's read back through, starting in chapter 3, verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 20, the book of Philippians. Chapter 3, verse 20 says this. This also picks up on what we've been singing about today. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Right here, very last couple verses that we taught on last weekend. Right here, we have this, just this beautiful picture, this beautiful reminder of Paul, you know, just again, remember, by the way, if you didn't know and you're just joining in on us, in Philippians, Paul, an apostle, follower of Jesus, preacher of the gospel, awesome, unbelievable, as I said last week, like the Rambo guy, you know, of that time, of just like proclaiming the gospel and wouldn't let anything stop him. You know, basically is tied up in chains in a hole, which was their prison at this point. And he's writing this. And he's writing about rejoicing, and he's talking about, you know, joy in the Lord and all this stuff. But here he's saying, even more than that, he's saying more than just some kind of don't worry, be happy message here. He's saying, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something to persevere for. That's something to put our hope in. I love all kinds of cars, machines, all kinds of mechanical things. I'm a very mechanical person. The one thing that I know about mechanical stuff, and I even talked myself out of buying something yesterday because of this point. I know that at some point it's going to break down. It just is. That's the way this stuff works. I got to work at a machine shop with a friend of mine for years on and off, and you know, and even just in doing that, I mean, that's what that business is based on. Business is based on knowing that stuff is going to break and somebody's got to fix it. You know, for us to understand that to put our hope in things here is just going to be a loss, I think it's huge that we can look at it and go, you know what? Paul's giving it to us right here in verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is worth persevering for. 3:17. We're going backwards, remember. Hang in there with me. No, it's not what you're used to. 3:17 says this. It says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Now, Paul is specifically talking about himself and imitating himself and following the example that he is setting. He's not being egotistical. He is merely saying, I am trying my best to follow Jesus. If you don't know what that looks like, look at me. He's also saying us. So he's not just saying me. He's not just saying, and he's not saying, hey, I'm perfect. I've got it figured out. He's just saying, here's somebody trying to do it. Look at me if you need to. Also, by the way, there's the us, and we're about to find out who the us is in here in just a few minutes as we keep going backwards through the scripture. So let's wait on that one. And then we're going to go to 3:11, chapter 3, verse 11. By the way, I could argue this on just about like 95% of these verses throughout this entire book. Chapter 3, verse 11, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul has just in this point in time been talking about righteousness through faith in Jesus. And in doing so, he's coming to the end of this passage right here, and he's just saying, hey, we are going to be resurrected from the dead. For those of us that know Jesus, Jesus has bought us with a price through the cross, through his blood, through his life being sacrificed, through the fact that we murdered Christ on a tree. He took for us what we deserve. If we were in court, it would be like Jesus walked up and said, hey, for what they did, I want to take the punishment. Send me to jail, give me the chair, whatever it is, I'm in for that. That's what Jesus did for us, only he did it on a much larger scale. He covered all of our sins. He paid the price that was due God, because God is perfect and God is just, and there had to be someone to pay the price. Jesus was the only person in the world, in the universe, that could have done this. He was perfect. He was the Lamb. Chapter 3, verse 13. It's going back the other way, I know. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. If that's not perseverance, I don't know what is. If you weren't here a couple weeks ago when we talked about this passage, go listen to the message. So many of us are caught on what this passage, one of the things that Paul is talking about on this passage, in this passage, that we get tripped up by the things from our past. We get tripped up on what has happened behind us. Good things, bad things keep us from moving forward in our faith with Jesus Christ. We think to ourselves, well, we got, you know, this accomplishment. I can't possibly ever do better than that. Or we've got this failure. And we're like, well, I'm forever a failure. That's what people know me as. Really? That can't be our mentality. We can't let our past dictate what's in front of us. Paul is saying, pay attention. Don't let Satan use that stuff in your life to keep you from moving forward in what God is calling you to do. 3:7. 3:7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. When I look at that, when I think about that, this is like the flagship verse for what we're talking about. Here's what we do. We get caught up here with all the stuff going on. And when something bad goes down, that's all we can see. It blinds us from everything else going on. I remember a lady when I was a youth pastor walked up to me at the church I was working at, and I was going through a bad breakup with a girlfriend I'd been with for several years and all this stuff. Whatever. And in the midst of all of it, she looked at me, and God was doing some awesome stuff in our ministry at that time. She looked at me and she said, Chris, she said, are you doing okay? And I gave her the, oh yeah, I'm doing fine thing. And she's like, Chris, please tell me, are you really doing okay? And so I just spilled my guts on her, and I told her, I'm, whatever, and heartbroken, and, a country song to the nth degree. And she said, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry about that. She said, hey, can I tell you something, though, in the midst of that? I said, yeah. And she said, you know that I love you. She said, I hate that you're going through this. She said, but you know what? I just want to remind you that God is doing some really awesome stuff right now. And she said, I just don't want you to miss it because God's using you as part of it. And I was like, I'm such an idiot. That's what we do. We take these things in this world and they become the biggest deal to us. And Paul is saying here in this passage, no, don't do that. He's saying, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. He's saying, whatever I lost, counted as loss. And not only counted as loss, but I counted as loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. Glory to God that He took it away from me. Glory to God that I'm going through this. Glory to God that I'm suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ right now. That's easier said than done, isn't it? But that's what we're called to. Because again, the truth is we're not called to persevere for our sake. We're called to persevere so that our lives will glorify Jesus. What do people see when they see you go through something really bad? The people that are closest to you, what do they see? I'll tell you what, we'll do one better than that. What if we had the can opener to your soul and they could really see what's going on in here and in here when something bad's going down? What would they really see? What would they really see? Scary, isn't it? I think for us to understand that we have to look at the things of this world as what they are. There are going to be moments in our life where things are going to happen, and the reason that they're being allowed to happen many times is for the glory of God. Our lives are for the glory of God. That's it. That's our purpose. If we miss our purpose, the rest of it never makes any sense. We never have any peace with any of it. It's just a bunch of junk. And we're just kind of like trying to plug in here, plug in there, and it, you know, it's just nothing. Following Jesus is messy. It's a Cinderella story in eternity. But there is still suffering and things to deal with because we are fallen, sinful man here and now. And part of us working through those things and suffering through those things for the people around us to see Jesus coming through us instead of our human, not so pretty side that many times does. 3:2. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Wow. You gotta love that verse. I think, again, we're going thematically here today with just looking at different verses out of this book of Philippians. I think that as we do so and looking through here and we're thinking about this idea of and this understanding of that God wants us to persevere for His glory, I think along the way we're getting things where Paul is encouraging us, and he's encouraging us in ways of looking out for things. And in this situation in particular, he's saying, look out for those that are going to come against us. By the way, the people that you allow to speak in your life, the people that you allow to be people that say, have a say in your life, is a big deal. And you may need to rethink who those people are. Are those people that love Jesus and really love you? Or are those people that are jealous of you? Are those people that don't know Jesus, and so they're not going to give you godly wisdom? You know, you say, well, you know, you got to know like my mom or my dad or my brother or sister. You know, I'll let them, and I know they don't love Jesus. What? Listen, doesn't mean that you don't love them, to not listen to them, but you have to be wise. You have to be careful with who you allow to be the people that help you figure out the trajectory of where God is calling you to be in your life. If they don't know Jesus, then they don't understand what it means to follow Him. 2:30 is the end of the story of Paul talking about Epaphroditus. And he says this, says, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what he was lacking in your service to me. Epaphroditus, unbelievable guy apparently, because Paul is very clear about talking about him and talking about Timothy. In fact, if you want to go with Timothy, chapter 2, verse 22 says this. Chapter 2, verse 22, talks about Timothy, and it says, but you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I love that. And he's pointing out these two guys, and I think that he's doing so that we can have some tangible examples of what it looks like to live for Jesus. And he's saying these guys are not perfect, but these guys are doing it. They're out there. Epaphroditus almost died doing the work of the ministry. He's been through the struggles. He's been through the hard times, yet God is using him for the glory of His kingdom. They persevered, and you can too. Paul's making a point that it is possible to walk on to the team. And really, so much of it just comes down to faithfulness to God. 2:19, Paul talks about sending out Timothy, and just, I'm not going to read it, but Paul talks about sending out Timothy in just hopes of, you know, that he would encourage them and that he would come back and even encourage himself. He talks about Timothy coming back to encourage himself. 2:13 says this, it says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Are you getting that? Are you getting that? I mean, that's huge. God wants to work in us. He wants to do a work in us. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Did it say for ours? No. Did it say that God is going to work through us so that we could have everything that we want? No. Did it say God's going to work through us so that we can have the job that we really, you know, trained for, went to school for, whatever? No. It said that both to will and to work for His good pleasure, He is going to use us for His glory as long as we can stay out of the way, as long as we can follow Him, do His will, choose His will. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And he's just saying, look, you've got some work to do. Persevere. Do it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't let the world con you out of believing that God can't use you for the glory of His kingdom. God wants to use you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're going through. God wants to use you. Go 1:10. So that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. 1:6 says this, that He will begin a good work in you. That He will begin a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Both of those verses right there, talking about the end, giving us hope in something else, because guess what? This is going to pass away. It's going to pass away. So putting our hope here is not going to do us any good. You say, well, Chris, I'm just struggling through a lot right now. I hear you. I understand. Here's two situations of people I've hung out with this week. One was a situation where someone cheated on their spouse. Legitimately cheated on their spouse. And I got to sit with the both of them as we talked about what it looked like for them to persevere through this and move forward. The message of the gospel, our hope in Jesus, our faith in what He has done on the cross, is the only thing that's going to get us through stuff like that. There's not enough Dr. Phil books out there. And Dr. Phil seems like a great guy. Not knocking Dr. Phil. But I think for us to understand that peace only comes through Jesus Christ. And we and the truth is that as soon as something happens, the first thing we want to do is do this. Hey, I need to talk to you about something going on in my life. What's, you know, here's what it is and blah, 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 blah. We need people in our life that we can turn to. But the truth is that we need to turn first to Jesus. Say, Chris, it sounds like a Sunday school answer. I'm just saying that we keep jacking it up because we don't. And then we come back around to the thing and we're like, oh, well, you know, I just can't figure out why I just can't seem to be getting it right. I've talked to 10 people and 5 pastors and blah, blah, blah. You know, listen, where's Jesus in this for you? Do you really love Him? Even better yet, do you even know Him? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Is it real, or is it just you're basing all this, you know, thing on this religious, you know, stuff that you have from your past, and you kind of got like your whole religious collection over here that consists of your church attendance and who your mommy and daddy were and all this stuff? Who cares? Do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Him? Because in the end, that's all that matters. Mommy and daddy can't buy you your relationship with Christ. I ran into a lady yesterday at a yard sale. And she lost her son about 9 months ago because he's one of our soldiers that has given his life to do what they're doing right now. And I know her, and I never put it together who she was, who this family was. I didn't realize how kind of somewhat well. I knew them and completely missed the opportunity to minister to this family. And I just got to tell you, I felt like a dog. When she told me, when we're standing on the front steps of some stranger's house together, she told me what had happened. I mean, I felt stupid. And she and I went home. I talked to her for a minute there, and I felt like my words were just even stupid. And I went home last night, and I sent her an email. I found an email in our deal, and sent her an email, and just apologized, and just told her how awful I felt that we weren't able to be there for her as a church during this time of her life. And she wrote me an email back. She was very kind to me, and just, you know, went on about just how hard it's been to get through the loss of someone that she loved so much. But she, still in that email, was saying, but glory to God. Glory to God for his life. Glory to God that he was my son. Glory to God. This is what she's saying. Glory to God that I know where he is right now. And if that happened to so many of us, we would just flip. Something bad happens to us, our sinful nature, you know what it wants us to do? It wants us to run the other way. You know what Jesus wants us to do? He wants us to run toward him and embrace what he has called us to and to persevere through it and him be glorified through it and him to do his work and his thing in our lives through our sufferings. And he did that for me yesterday through a lady that I felt terrible that I couldn't minister to. The truth is that Jesus died on a cross and paid the ransom for our sin. Took our place where we deserve death. He took death so we could have eternal life in him. And all we have to do is have faith in him and have a relationship with him and seek him. And you're like, how in the world does that even happen? It happens just like we have a relationship with anybody else. Only we have God's word. We get to pray. We get to worship him in all types of different ways. And so I come right back to the same question. Do you even know Jesus? Because if you don't know Jesus, then you're just missing it. It's not about being religious. This is a guy that got it. And his name was Horatio Spafford. Horatio wrote what ended up being turned into a song. I don't think that he actually wrote it as a song, but it ended up being a song. Maybe he meant for it to be, and maybe it wasn't finished. I don't know. But he wrote this song after a tragedy happened. I want to read just a little bit of what happened, Horatio. In the 1870s, Spafford was a very successful lawyer in Chicago and heavily invested in real estate. In 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed all his downtown investment properties. So he lost everything that he had invested in. In 1873, he and his family planned a vacation trip to Europe. While in Great Britain, he planned to help his good friend D.L. Moody. And if you don't know who D.L. Moody is, you should look him up. He's an amazing dude that loved Jesus, whom he had financially supported in an evangelistic tour. Spafford sent his wife and his four girls on ahead. The girls were ages 11, 9, 7, and 2. I have a 4, 2, and a few month old right now, so I've got 3. You can only imagine 11 years of having these girls. And then, so they're 11, 9, 7, and 2. He sent them on ahead while he finished up last-minute business in Chicago. On November 22nd, the ship that they were on struck another ship and sank within 12 minutes. Miss Spafford cabled her husband, and it said this, "Saved alone." They lost all four of their daughters. It goes on, in 1881, Anna gave birth again. Actually, even before that, they gave birth to another son. He wound up dying because of a disease. And then later on, they gave birth to another young lady. And she made notes to talking about how she watched her parents not only suffer through still dealing with the loss of the other children, but the loss of economic stuff and all that stuff, and basically just felt stripped of everything they had, to the point of Horatio himself being in danger of losing his faith. And in the midst of all this, he pins this, what we have as a song. And Horatio himself was quoted once saying this. They moved to Jerusalem, and he said this was the reason why. "Jerusalem is where my Lord lived, suffered, and conquered. And I wish to learn how to live, suffer, and especially to conquer." And the song that he wrote, that we sing, says this. And it's thought that he may have written this over the waters where his four daughters died. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, wherever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." We can't say that when the stock market doesn't work our way some days. And this is a man that loves Jesus so much that in the midst of the greatest suffering of his life, he's saying, "Glory to God. God be glorified in all that he does." And after hanging out this week with couples that are trying to even just decide what in the world do we do from here, and staring into the eyes of a mother that has seen just pain beyond what I understand, and then hearing the words, "Glory to God," I am challenged in who I am and how I deal with things in my life, that my suffering is not always for the glory of God, and it should be. And this morning, for us to even think about singing that song, we have to heart check ourselves real hard and say, where am I with Jesus? And I want you to know that if you don't know him, that at the end of the service, we'll have some folks that would love to pray with you and talk to you about Jesus. And if you do, maybe you're like me and maybe you'll be challenged with what it means to persevere for the glory of God, because it is a theme that we see through all out Scripture and definitely throughout the book of Philippians. May we be challenged by it, and may we be challenged to do so not for our sake, but for the sake of his kingdom. Let's pray together. God, you are unbelievably good. And God, we love you. God, may our lives be one big act of worship for you. May people see you in us. God, may we persevere for the cause of Christ. May people see Jesus through us. Lord, for anyone that doesn't know you today, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just work on their heart, that you would draw them near, that they would talk to somebody after the service or whatever it is, God, that they would get right with you today. God, may today be the day that you call them to become a child of God and work something new in their life. Give them the peace that is like a river that only comes through you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.